Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 7th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I have brought you the man who was insulted by Brent Wolgamott last night. It's John Krause. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and despite the insult, I think I might use the veto on Brent anyway. I think it might be better for my game if I save him instead of myself. I don't know why, but that's what I'm thinking right now.
Well, he did tell you to shove it up your rear end, and that usually means that you should use the veto on him. Let's get into these feeds from yesterday. We had, you know, to set everyone up again, we have this whole plan from Josh. He wants to evict Elena, and we're going to see that whole story play out here. Can Josh get Elena out of the house? Will he even want to continue to get Elena out of the house? Who knows? Maybe we'll find out on today's live feed update. All right, so we start off the day. Kevin continuing his plan to try and pull Cody over. He's talking to Cody. He's telling him, look, you just work with me. We'll get to top 8, top 7, top 5. He really loves his top numbers, and he feels like this is a great way to get Cody on board. You just got to not come after the people that I want to protect. We'll go after the other people. Take out those people that were with you in the beginning. They're the people that are screwing you over right now, implying Matt, Raven, Mark, Elena. And Cody is, to his credit, when Jess approached him with this, Cody was like, yeah, right. But when Kevin's talking to him, Cody's like, oh, yeah. I could totally do that, probably, right?
Yeah, I don't really know exactly what the question is, but I'll reiterate a lot of what I was saying last night, which is that I think Kevin is a really good talker, and it's always good to have more allies, right? Like, Cody is guaranteed to be in the house next week. He won the Temptation Competition safety, so he's definitely going to be around, and if Josh gets his way, then it's possible that Jessica's still going to be around, too, and what if they get power, you know? Maybe it's not a bad idea to try to befriend these people if they're going to be around for a little while longer. So I definitely give kudos to Kevin for trying. In terms of Cody, like, yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily the best deal for him. Although, if Jessica does end up going this week, then he's definitely going to need some sort of allies, or he could be quick to go soon. So you didn't really have a question for me, so that's my answer.
Yes, yeah, so sometimes we just throw it over. What are your thoughts? We also had Cody and Jessica talking about their plans next week to evict Paul. They've been talking about this plan forever, this plan that we know probably won't work, where they nominate Raven and Alex and try to put Paul up on the block next to Raven, thinking that's the best way to get Paul out. We know that's not entirely true, and they just continue to talk about it. So maybe someday we'll see this plan enacted and fail like it has been prophesized to do.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I keep thinking, like, if they want to eventually get Paul out, let's say that everyone wakes up and they smell the coffee and they're like, all right, we got to get Paul out. Who is the person that he should sit next to? Because I don't know if you're going to get much better than Raven. I mean, everyone doesn't love Raven. We were talking last night with Brent about how people are starting to get a little bit annoyed by her. But, you know, who do you think Paul would go if he was sitting next to?
I mean, we sort of discussed this a couple weeks ago, but I feel like Alex is probably the best bet there. I think that's the way that Kevin and Jason go against Paul.
True.
And with those two votes and then potentially some other votes, you might have the votes there. But as the numbers start to dwindle, you know, now that Jess is potentially leaving, that's one vote off the table. And you're already looking at probably, obviously, Matt and Raven are going to be in Cody's favor. We've seen Christmas and Josh be a little skeptical here of Paul and how he's in with everyone, so maybe they turn on him depending on how he acts when he's on the block. But I do feel like the biggest group of people right now, there's a lot of pairs, but the biggest group is the Alex, Jason, Kevin contingent. If you take one of them and the other two rally around that third person, then that's the most you're going to get in terms of bang for your buck.
Yeah, I would agree. And we talked last night about how Alex is very, very, very close to Paul. She's never, ever going to turn on him. So I guess if she were up next to him, that would really be the only chance for her to possibly kind of throw him under the bus a little bit. So I would agree with that. Maybe Alex is the best person to sit next to Paul, if this ever happens in the future.
Yes. All right. So we have Josh and Christmas now trying to get their plan enacted. They're pitching this plan to evict Elena to Alex and Jason. And I mean, Alex first, who just doesn't seem really on board. And I mean, she's not saying no, but you know that she is very loyal to Paul, and that as soon as she talks to Paul and says, yeah, I'm not sure about this, and Paul goes, no, that's dumb, she'll be like, yeah, that's dumb. They do seem to get through to Jason a little bit, though. The argument that really seems to work with him is that, oh, if Jess and Cody both make it to jury and then one of them leaves, the other one will want to just leave the house to go to jury with them. Come on, Jason.
Right. Well, we have had people this season talk a lot about, like, I just want to make jury. I just want to make jury. It's this thing that everyone's perseverating on. At one point when everyone still loved Raven, they were talking about trying to get her to the end and give the game to her. There's been a lot of talk about trying to get Cody to self-evict, which hasn't happened, obviously. But this is a season where we are seeing people talk about people quitting and walking out. Maybe it was Megan's quit so early on that has created an atmosphere of the possibility of people just sort of walking out the door whenever they want to. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think that this is going to happen. Like, you know, Jess and Cody clearly have a thing for each other. They're pretty obsessed with each other. But we saw Jessica without Cody for a week or two, and she started to sort of rally. I think that if it happened again, that she would rally again. I don't think that she would walk out the door without Cody, or vice versa.
Yeah, ultimately, we see Jason talking to Alex, saying, you know, maybe we should do what Josh wants. And Alex is like, no, we need to get Jess out. Like, this is what we need to do. Jess hates me. I hate Jess. It's got to happen. I want to punch her in the face every time I see her.
Right. Yeah. So I would say, in terms of Christmas and Josh's plan, if they want it to work, that this was probably the worst way for them to go about doing it. Like, you don't talk to Alex, because Alex reports every single thing to Paul as soon as she possibly can. And once Paul gets wind of this whole Elena thing, like, he's going to shut it down. And so it's really bad. I think that if they wanted to go about it better, they should have talked to probably Kevin alone, and then obviously maybe try to get Cody on board, because Cody's not going to report anything to Paul. And then if they get Cody and Kevin, then maybe try to get Jason alone from Alex. And then it's like, if you get that whole coalition together, then maybe you can talk to Alex and be like, listen, it's going to go this way anyway. And then at that point, if she reports it to Paul, she would report it in such a way that maybe even Paul could be seeing, like, this is just the way it's going to go. I think that there's a certain set of steps where this is a possible outcome, but this was the absolute wrong way to do it. You don't tell Alex first.
Yeah, Paul's relationship with Alex has served him very well, and it is pretty under the radar. They've tried to keep it a secret as much as possible, and it's been working out quite well for him. Probably one of the better moves of his game to be able to win over Alex, especially because he did so by putting her on the block as a pawn.
Right.
Impressive stuff by Paul there.
There's a certain amount of honor in this season in being a pawn. We'll talk about it in a few minutes, but I still think Mark's going to save himself. But, like, there's the fact that there's even a discussion of Mark not saving himself, and the idea that, like, Mark can prove his loyalty to the group by allowing himself to remain a pawn. That's another thing that, whether you want to give Paul all of the credit or not, like, this season is kind of weird, where the idea of being a pawn is like, oh, that's a really good thing. That's really proving your worth. Ramses didn't do anything the week he went home because he was told he was a pawn and that was a good thing and that he should be happy with being a pawn.
Yeah, we saw Jason talking to Alex in front of Christmas saying, all right, well, maybe we should just say we'll go with what Josh wants and then not do that. And Alex quickly shut that down. But if you're Christmas, you've got to be kind of worried about that, right? Like, anything Jason now says to you in terms of, like, oh yeah, I might be on board with this plan, you're like, well, is he just saying that? And are we going to get blindsided in the same way that Cody and Jess were, and then we'll be the targets? This may be something that set her off in terms of being a little worried about the reception to this plan later on in the day. We'll have to see. We did get a little more information. Christmas thinks that she has Alex kind of on board with this plan. Obviously, she doesn't.
Right.
But she is worried about Jason, probably because of what he said. And she also says that she just started talking to her again today. And I had the idea, well, maybe this is why she's back on board with evicting Elena, because it seemed like last night she was saying, well, Jess has to go, because of the whole, replacement veto snafu sort of thing. It seems a Christmas going back and forth. I feel like she was kind of temporarily set on to Jess because she felt like that relationship was tarnished. And then she felt like Jess was talking to her again. So now she's back on board. And it did make me realize again that Christmas thought she had a really great relationship with Jessica. And that's probably one of the reasons why she went to want to evict Elena instead anyway. If we remember back to when Jess was in having that fight with Cody, she had a really great conversation with Christmas where Christmas was like, you've made a girlfriend for life. And that's probably where Christmas is thinking like, oh, I have a good relationship with Jess. I don't want her to go home. I'd rather Elena go home. I don't have as good a relationship with Elena. But it does seem like that relationship with Jess has been waning in the past few days. And that's probably why she's a little back and forth here.
Yeah, well, I think if we look at the way that Christmas treats people that she believes are betraying her, that we can sort of get some insight into her erratic gameplay here. Let's not forget that Christmas was on the block week one, and there was that whole blow up. Like, one of the first fights that we really even saw on the feeds were between Christmas and Jessica after the first eviction, where Jillian, if anyone remembers that person, when she went home. Who? Yeah, who? I don't know. But either way, so, you know, that was like they fought and then they made up and then they fought again. And it's clear that when Christmas sees someone as an ally and she thinks that she gets betrayed, that she really sort of turns on that person. And that's kind of what we see happening with Paul and her. She and Paul have been very, very close, like almost to the extent that Alex and Paul have been very close this season. And lately, Paul has been sidling up to Elena. We've been seeing Elena and Paul flirting more and more overtly over the last few days. And whether you want to talk about it being a personal thing and a jealousy thing, or just from a strategy perspective, I think that Christmas sees herself and Paul as being a very tight two. And the fact that a week ago, Paul was talking about, well, if we can't get Jess and Cody out, then we'll go after Mark and Elena. And so Elena was one of the possible targets last week. And now, they're giving each other back massages and they're doing all this flirting stuff and all these things. And I think that Christmas sees that. And again, whether you want to call it personal jealousy or in-game sort of this, it doesn't make sense from an alliance perspective. I think she takes the perceived betrayal of the tightness of the two very, very seriously.
Yes. Okay, so we also had Matt and Raven discussing which one of us is going to volunteer to be a pawn. Ultimately, Raven decides, I'll be the pawn. That seems like the right move to make. And you know, there was a lot of this discussion throughout the day that Raven is going to go up on the block. Shame on Mark for using the veto. Should we try to convince Mark to not use the veto? It's never gonna happen. Mark is never gonna not use the veto, and you're all just gonna suck it up. Nobody's gonna target Mark for using the veto. This just seems like just lots of pointless chitter chatter over this. Ultimately, the main point is that Raven will be going up as the pawn here, right?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the right move. People are starting to tire of Raven's shtick a little bit, but I don't think that this is the week where Raven's going to go. Whereas with Matt on the block, I could kind of see it being like another Ramsey situation where if Matt goes on the block, maybe people start saying like, he hasn't really done anything. He's kind of meaningless to my game. And they can sort of start to see the house without Matt. You know what I mean? Like, what happens if Matt's not in the house anymore? There's a lot more cereal in the house. And that's really kind of it. So if Matt goes on the block there, it's possible that people are like, well, I could see him outside. So I do think Raven's the better choice there. You're definitely right. Like, Mark is going to use the veto. Toward the end of the night last night, him and Elena were alone doing their own little thing, and he was saying, give me your best pitch on why I should use the veto on you. He was talking like, maybe I'll think about it. And so a lot of us feedsters were like, wait a minute, is he really going to do this? But I'm still confident that he's going to save himself, because why on earth wouldn't he? He's no Marcellus.
Yes, we have a question from Gregory in the chat who asks, is there any scenario where Raven goes home? Probably not, right?
I'll say no, but for the sake of conversation, let's say, obviously Cody wants to keep Jessica no matter what. Paul wants to keep Raven no matter, or I'm sorry, Paul wants to keep Elena no matter what. Mark probably still wants to keep Elena no matter what. If Josh and Christmas are so set on shaking up the pot and getting out someone other than Jessica, there might be a 0.0001% chance where they can unify around Raven in order to keep both Jessica and Elena safe for the respective alliances. I don't think that'll happen, but I won't say that there's a 0% chance.
Okay. So let's talk about Jess and Elena. They had a conversation, and Jessica told Elena that, she would vote for Paul to win the game right now, that she feels like Paul is playing the best game. She'd love to be watching it on the outside. She hates that she's playing with it on the inside. Trying to sow seeds of doubt, I think, in Elena with Paul, but also says you should work with Paul as much as possible. He's probably your closest ally. So not really sure what Jessica's getting at with that one. Maybe just trying to give genuine advice. Who knows? It's probably that, because she also gives Elena a heads up about the fact that Christmas may be trying to flip votes against her, that Christmas is, not liking her very much. This is probably not what you should be telling the person you're on the block against, that there's somebody trying to flip the votes to save you and not them. I don't really understand what Jess is doing here.
I don't want to give Jess too much credit, so I'm not going to say that this is brilliant on her part, but I do think that there is some value in those things that she's saying. In terms of talking up Paul's game, I think that's probably the best way to start making people wary of Paul. We've seen that Paul is seen in the house as this sort of this god, right? He's played before. He's with everybody. Everyone feels close with Paul. So I think if you go up to anyone and you say, we got to get Paul out, that's a no-go. I think if you start saying, like, gosh, Paul's really great, if he gets to the end, I'm definitely going to vote for him to win. He's playing the strongest game right now, isn't he? Isn't that impressive? That's totally amazing. I think that might maybe start to light a fire under some people. There's a little bit of value in that. And also, I think there is some value in making Elena find out about Christmas and Josh. Let's make a Game of Thrones reference here, and the idea of chaos being sort of a ladder, right? Like, maybe there is a path where, if this entire alliance starts to implode, if it turns into Elena and Paul versus Christmas and Josh, maybe Jess can sort of eke through there. Again, I don't want to give her that much credit. I don't know if she's thinking that deeply, but these things may not be the worst things that she could be saying.
Yes. An argument from the other side, Diana in the chat says, I think Jess is just resolved that she's leaving and she doesn't care anymore.
That's probably it. But, things that you say can have consequences that you don't intend. So just because she may not be playing her best game for herself doesn't mean that she might not accidentally save herself this week somehow.
Hashtag right move for the wrong reasons.
Exactly.
Yes. And you're right. I think that, we later in the night have Paul talking to us about how he really wants to play up the fact that he can't win in the end. And Jess has preemptively sort of countered that by saying, even I, Paul's worst enemy, would vote for Paul in the end. It really, really takes away from that argument and will probably affect his ability to perform and get to that final two. So, it's the classic. It's the Troyzan. You can't take Kim to the end. She's going to win. It doesn't always work, though.
Well, right. We've seen, and you mentioned Survivor. We've seen it in Survivor and in Big Brother before, where you get these returning players who are seen as really big threats, and their best move is to downplay that. We've seen, and I can't think of a very super specific example, but we've seen players before who go, I know I'm not going to win. I'm just here to have a good time. Dr. Will did that a little bit in All Stars, where he's just like, there's no way I'm going to win a second time. Let me help you get to the end. I'm just here to have a good summer. Like, I just want to get away from the real world for a while. No one would vote for me in the end. And if you kind of push that target away from you, that can sort of help you. And then maybe you can make a really good argument. So I think that's really smart on Paul's part to be trying to sort of spin that narrative.
Well, Gregory asks in the chat, do you believe that Paul can't win? I gotta say, I think he can this time. I wasn't super solid on his chances last year, but and there have been a lot of people that are saying he's playing way too aggressively and that he's going to embitter the jury against him. But I feel like if Jessica and Cody leave the game thinking that they could vote for Paul, then it's hard to imagine that any of his other allies wouldn't. There's a lot of game left to be played, I suppose. And it depends on how he handles having to backstab his alliance members, right?
Yeah, I honestly think that if he makes the final two, that he's the obvious winner. I saw Christina in the chat just now say that if he makes it to the end, possibly against Kevin, then maybe Kevin would beat him. And I can see that sort of happening, but I really don't see any player that's left in the game making it to the final two with Paul and Paul not winning. And I really don't think that we're going to have a terribly bitter jury this season. Like we were talking about earlier, just a few minutes ago, at one point this season, there were multiple people saying that they would happily give the game to Raven. And so I don't think that we'll see a bitter jury. There's no way that Paul's going to backstab anybody so badly that they suddenly think that, you know what I mean? Like, Paul is totally Paul. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Alex, because she's so into the whole friendship thing. Maybe Alex will be a little too hurt if she gets backstabbed. But otherwise, like, they all know that Paul wants them all out eventually anyway. I can't see them not voting for him in the end.
Yeah, this is not a season 14 coach situation. They are not mad about the fact that Paul is a vet. They enjoy it. It would be very difficult to see them not vote for him in the end if he makes it there. They all respect what he's doing, at least up to this point. All right, so as I mentioned, Paul has this friendship chat with us where he tells us that he wants to play up the fact that he can't win in the end because he's a vet, which may or may not work. He basically tries to talk to Elena about this very fact just after she had a conversation with Jess, where Jess said she would vote for him in the end. So that was kind of funny. But he also mentions that he wants to make sure he gets Matt on people's radars. He feels like Matt has been lying low and not really doing much, and he wants to make sure that he is starting to get targeted. He also thinks Kevin is playing the best game, which is also something that contradicts what Elena was saying about Kevin, where Elena was saying if Kevin wins, or if Kevin gets to the end, she'll be annoyed because she feels like he's not doing anything. I'm not concerned about Kevin in the final two because Paul is saying that he respects what Kevin is doing. So even Elena, who doesn't see what Kevin is doing and doesn't respect it, if Paul is in the jury and Kevin is sitting in the final two, Paul is absolutely going to sing Kevin's praises and say, guys, guess what? All this time he was playing you. Don't worry. Like, don't think that he wasn't doing anything. I'm not concerned about Kevin at all. Are you?
No, there's a couple different things that you said that we'll kind of unpack one by one here. I think that Kevin does have a great way. I said this last night after the recap, but I think Kevin's such a good talker that even people like Elena, I think that he could definitely talk his way into convincing her to vote for him. Also, we've never seen Paul as a juror before, but I think that we can probably predict, we can make some sort of assumptions that based on how he plays Big Brother, that if he's in that jury house, he's definitely going to be one of these people who tries to get everyone to vote the way he wants. And so I think that if he, depending on who Kevin sits next to, if Paul wants Kevin to win, Paul will definitely be talking him up in a lot of different ways. So I'm not too worried about Kevin if he makes the jury. Another thing that you said a few seconds ago is about Paul targeting Matt. I have two sort of feelings about this. If I were playing Big Brother, I would be worried about Matt. I would be wary of Matt because he's sort of an unknown entity. And also I think that For better or worse, I would be trying to play a similar game to Matt, and that I would want to be under the radar for at least the first half of the game. So I would be wary of Matt. Paul, I don't really know why he's wary of Matt right now, because Matt is definitely still working with Paul, and Matt is probably, as next to Alex, the least likely to betray him. So I do think it might be, for Paul specifically, a little early for him to be targeting Matt. I think that's a bit of a misread on his part.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Paul is looking at the board as though he is in control of all the pieces and will continue to be in control of all the pieces. And if that's the case, then he's correct. He should worry about Matt. Matt is probably one of the more dangerous pieces on that board. But what Paul isn't recognizing is that he may be starting to lose control of Christmas and Josh, and Kevin is not as loyal as he thinks he is. So, you know, Paul needs to worry more about maintaining the connections and the power that he has over these people than he needs to do in terms of like looking at all the pieces on the board and thinking, well, I got to move this one here and this one here. If Matt and Raven are your two most solidly loyal allies, you have to recognize that that means they are more valuable, even though they may also be a little more dangerous. It's just something that he needs to be considering a little more, I think.
Yeah, this strategy that Paul is attempting to emulate, it's kind of like if you are like sort of a circus sideshow person where you're spinning a lot of plates on these long poles, and you have to keep spinning the plates and keep them balancing. And when you see one plate start to wobble, you have to focus on that plate. And to continue this illusion, I think that Matt and Raven, like, their plates are spinning no problem, and it seems silly for him to go over there and knock those plates over instead of focusing on the ones that are starting to wobble. Eventually, maybe you need to knock them off, but right now, focus on the fact that he's not really super picking up on the fact. He said during that same conversation where he was in the Austin Power room that he wanted to continue to work with his core five, which included Josh and Christmas, and those are people right now that are starting to lose him, or he's starting to lose, and so he really needs to focus on keeping them loyal instead of knocking off these other people.
Yes, Nikki in the chat brings up, and I really like this point. Last season, Nicole had Corey telling people that she couldn't win.
Yeah.
And now Paul has truly bought that she couldn't win, and that's why he took her.
Exactly.
And now he's trying this plan himself. But somebody else had pointed out in the chat earlier as well, this works better if you have somebody else doing it for you. Nicole obviously had Corey doing it for her. Paul doesn't really have anyone working this for him. What he should do is tell Kevin, guys, Paul can't win. He should tell Kevin to be pushing that, because people would buy it coming from Kevin, I think. So he also finally, he talks about he wants to continue working with Alex and Kevin down the line. He feels like those are two people that he really wants to bring toward the end of the game. Alex, I can see. I think Alex is a really great ally for him. She has shown no signs of disobedience whatsoever up to this point. Maybe one or two times she's told Jason things about Paul that she wasn't supposed to. But other than that, she seems very loyal. She's even talked about, taking Paul to the end and coming in second for him. So I think taking her down is probably a pretty good move there. Although I think he does need to worry a little bit about her competition, ability. And then obviously Kevin might be a little dangerous to take down to the end, because who knows what Kevin does down that line. He can be such a wild card, I think. But that's his plan. He really feels like those are the two people he feels really solid with. So, good on them. If Paul retains his control of the game, then he will be doing his damnedest to protect them.
Yeah, in terms of that, if those are his like tight four, him, Alex, Jason, and Kevin, I do think that that's a pretty decent final four for Paul, at least in terms of what information he has right now, because I think that Alex is the only one that could definitely beat him in like a final three scenario, like HOH, like a final HOH. But Alex, if she won, she would definitely take Kevin to the final three. So like if it's Paul, Jason, and Alex, I think that there's almost zero scenario where Paul isn't in that final two, unless maybe Jason possibly wins. But he kind of sucks at competition. So, and then even with Kevin in the final four, I think that that's a little bit risky, because I do think that Kevin is a lot better at some of these challenges, except especially the mental ones. I think he has the fortitude to do well going into the end, but I don't think that they know that, or that they perceive that. So from Paul's point of view right now, I do see that that final four kind of makes the most sense for him.
Yeah, and your point about Jason is a good one, because we've seen him study. Jason is not winning any of these quiz competitions down the line. It is not his forte. So
a couple too many bulls to the head.
Yes, exactly. All right, so we finally have another conversation with Josh and Christmas, where they discuss how Paul is in good with everyone, and that's kind of shady. Although Christmas does eventually kind of say, well, as long as he's still with us, I don't really mind that he's with everyone else as well. And she starts to play devil's advocate. She starts to say, all right, well, maybe we should be looking at this in terms of how do we leave ourselves the most protected going into next week? How do we have the most people having our backs? Maybe we shouldn't make such a dramatic and drastic move and split the house in the way that we are, which is, again, it's good thinking. I think this is like a good way. They should be thinking about this, because, as I mentioned in previous updates, I like the plan if it works. If it doesn't work, I think it's a colossal failure. And I think Christmas is starting to realize that. And she's pointing it out to Josh, who is saying, yeah, you know, if this pushes Paul away and it also fails, then we could be in a lot of trouble.
I'm going to quote my good friend and mentor, Mike Ehrmantraut, here and say that there is no, you never do half measures. No more half measures, right? You're right. I think that maybe pushing Paul away at this point isn't best for Christmas. And I do think that if this plan fails, that that's probably bad. But they've really played this as poorly as possible. They're trying to undermine Paul and keep him out of the loop, which is going to create a schism. It's going to create this separation. It's going to blow up this alliance. But they've already started to sow those seeds. Paul is already going to, like, no matter what happens, he's going to find out, I think, through Alex now. Because they told Alex that they wanted to do this. He's going to find out about this undermining. So they've already started down that path. And by now, at this point, saying, boy, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we should just get rid of Jessica, do what the house, a.k.a. Paul, wants. It's a half measure because they've already started down one road and now they're doubling back. You just look weak. You just look stupid. You end up pissing off a lot of people. You're creating hope for Jessica and Cody only to backstab them again. You are undermining Paul, but then you're going to run back to him. So he's going to know that he continues to have power over you. It's just the worst. I do think that ultimately at the beginning of the week, if they wanted to stick with Paul, that might be better for specifically Christmas's game. But this half measures stuff is just the worst scenario.
Yeah, I mean, having already told Alex has already told Paul, as they're pointing out in the chat, and Paul immediately is just like, that's dumb. That, why would we do that? Mm-hmm. Obviously this is already starting to get out, and they even specifically said, like, this is really where they went wrong, where it's like they pitched this idea and they said to the people they pitched it to, meaning Alex, we're leaving Paul out of this right now. We don't want to tell Paul. So, like, you're caught red-handed with that. Like, you're deliberately trying to exclude him. That is going to piss him off. You've already crossed that line. Granted, I think that it's still better than continuing to push and fail. But man, they haven't played this right at all. Like I said, I like the idea, but the execution has just been really poor. And that's partly on Jess. That's a lot on them. And it's seeming like this is definitely not going to go through at this point, and we might see Christmas and Josh fall on Paul's list of people that he wants to take far in the game, because they started to attempt a coup and were just immediately shut down. And if Paul is playing by the Derek or the BR rules, then that puts them right up on the chopping block. So we're gonna have to see how that plays out.
I also really hate how this is just sort of like a shot across the bow in terms of going against Paul. Like, if you want to piss Paul off, if you want to undermine him, if you want to start to turn against him, if you're going to have these conversations, Josh and Christmas, about how Paul is starting to be shady and like they're like, just backdoor Paul. Like, the veto ceremony hasn't happened yet. Like, if you want to go against him, if you want to start this war right now, if you don't want Paul to go to the end, then Josh, you're the HOH. Be the meatball that you want to see in the world and put up Paul. Like, by having Elena go up, like, best case scenario, Elena goes home and then Paul wants you next. Like, it's more, again, more half measures. It's just like, target the person you want to target and get out, or don't. Like, Elena is such a waste if you're going to start this war.
Yeah, I agree. I think if, like, they were essentially saying, like, this is potentially declaring war, and if you're declaring war, you got to take out the king, right? If you have the opportunity, like, you might not get this opportunity again. If you come at him, you gotta hit him.
If you come at the king, you best not miss. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Mark also seems to be, he had a conversation with Alex and Jason where he kind of implied, like, you know, Cody always wanted to work with you two. It's really Jessica's fault that he's not, which I think gives them even more incentive to be voting out Jessica here. I don't think Mark did this on purpose, but this was a conversation that was really like, if Jason or Alex had any sort of inclination to vote out Elena instead of Jessica, this probably really just kills all of that. It's just like, oh, Cody does want to, like, Cody might not come after us if Jessica's not in the house, then yeah, Jessica leaving is really great for us. It really is. Like, there's no upside to them to vote out Elena for Josh and Christmas. So this plan seems to be all but dead at the moment. Even Kevin was talking to Christmas and saying Jessica has to go. She has to, because it's in Kevin's plan also to work with Cody once Jess is gone. Christmas tells Kevin, you know, Josh was considering getting out Elena, but now we've kind of decided it's probably too drastic. I did notice she said Josh was considering it and not her. She seems to be fully backing out of this at the moment. So there we go. It does, again, we talked about it yesterday, where in the morning I was like, it seems like Jess is solid to go home, and then the plan resurfaced. So we might see that again. Who knows, Jessica or Christmas, whether she's on her meds or not, whether she's like sane or not, I don't know. Maybe she'll flip back again and they'll make another push. But for right now, it seems very, very solid. Jessica will be going home this week. And that's about what we've got for the update here.
Yeah, I can't really think of too much else to add. I will say that there is still, what is it, Monday morning. So we still have 3 days and a half before eviction. It's possible that we're going to have a double either this week or next week. And so maybe if the house guests smell that out, they might change their strategy a little bit. Jessica, you know, she's an underdog, so I'm rooting for her, but she's not a very good player. Like, she might really put her foot in her mouth in a certain way. Or Elena possibly could put her foot in her mouth too. So there's a lot of stuff that could possibly happen with these players not playing optimally. But yeah, I would say that as of right now, the stock on Jessica is definitely way, way down.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, again, there's a lot of week left in the week. Josh is erratic and it could absolutely, go all over the place. For all we know, Josh could have some crazy idea. Like, he could be like Christmas could be like, Josh, it's over. There's no way we can get Elena. It's not even the right move. And that could just piss Josh off. And he'll be like, you know what, then I'm going to put up Paul or something crazy. You never know. So stay on the lookout with Josh's HOH. But it does seem fairly set at the moment.
Yeah, I think that we could get something crazy out of left field because Josh is the HOH. But I'm not super hopeful.
We do have a question about from Gregory again in the chat. Any guesses as to what that Friday episode will be? There is an extra Friday episode. I believe that's this week, right? Or is it next week?
I think it's next Friday is what people were saying in the chat. Next Friday. I'm not super good at the scheduling stuff. Maybe that'll be a double eviction. I don't know what else it could be. Maybe there's another Ziggy Marley concert coming up, right? They did that last year on a Friday.
Yeah, it seems more likely to be one of those Ziggy Marley episodes than anything else. It certainly doesn't seem like it could be a battle back because there wouldn't be enough people there. They can't really do a double eviction until next week because of the Temptation competition. They don't usually have a whole separate episode for a double eviction, so that doesn't seem likely. We're getting lots of recap of the recap. Maybe that will be coming next week. Maybe Matt Hoffman will be joining us once again. That'll be fun. But yes, that is our update for the day. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you check out the LFC Roundtable tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. I will be talking to Audrey Middleton today for the Taran Show episode 4 that we'll be releasing tomorrow. Very, very excited about that. And of course,
that'll be good.
Yes. I'm very excited to talk to Audrey. I met her in Chicago and she was super nice. So really, really happy about that.
Yeah, she and I go way back, couple months.
Yes, she will hopefully be talking all about Sequester and what has gone into that and what got her, gave her the idea, and how she feels about losing finalists in Sequester.
Right, who her favorite players of all time are, things like that.
All right. So thank you all for joining us. If you want to, you can follow us on Twitter. John is at John Krause.
Yep.
I am at Armstrong Taran. Thank you again. We will see you next time.